Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Stronger Than Stress, 10 Spiritual Practices to Win the Battle of Overwhelm by Barb Roos. Narrated by Barb Roos. Disclaimer. This publication is intended to provide helpful and informative material on the subjects addressed. Readers should consult their personal health professionals before adopting any of the suggestions in this book or drawing inferences from it. The author and publisher expressly disclaim responsibility for any adverse effects arising from the use or application of the information contained in this book. Dedication. To my text thread besties, my Fab Five sisters, my McDonald's coffee date, my Flying Joe partner, my DC heart, my Mr. Freeze mama, my adventure of me, and my Red Lobster ride or die. You are the beautiful evidence of God's great and unconditional love for me in seasons of both overwhelm and victory. I love you and am so grateful for each of you. Introduction. I can't do all of this. If anything else happens, I'm going to have a stroke. I just want to cry. Have you found yourself thinking things like this lately? Or do you hear yourself uttering these words more often? None of us want to live this way. Living stressed out is exhausting and discouraging. When we're overwhelmed, that overflows into complicating our relationships with others and lowers our capacity to take care of ourselves. This isn't the life that we want. If this describes what you've experienced lately, I'm glad that you're here. If you're overwhelmed, that's understandable. But with God's strength, it is totally possible to overcome your daily stress and experience peace. I know this about you. You are doing the very best you can in a life where you have too much to do, too little time to do it while trying not to mess up. You're showing up with the best fight that you've got, but it's hard to hang in there. Your life looks like endless spinning plates. You want to keep up, but you've had too little sleep, you're stretched too thin, and there is not enough coffee in the world to help you get it all done. None of us want to spend our lives trying to hold everything around us together, but feeling like we're always about to fall apart. What would it mean for our lives to be different? For decades, I believed that stress and overwhelm were normal. I'd been successful in my careers in the marketplace and ministry. Awards hung on the wall, and I'd accomplished so many worthwhile goals. But the cost was constant exhaustion, inability to be present with my family, and a deep desire to escape from my life. However, I don't think that my struggle was unique. Most people around me were stressed out, so I never questioned whether there was another path. During one of my seasons of burnout, I joined a year-long women's leadership discipleship group at my church. It was there that I first learned about spiritual practices. We called them spiritual disciplines back then, but for me, that experience was a game changer in my ability to open up myself to connect with God better. Instead of insisting that I had to be in charge and figure everything out, which was stressful, these practices taught me how to slow down, savor, and find safety in the security of God's love and grace and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. I invite you on a journey so that God can do the same for you as He did for me. As a Christian woman speaker and author, I've heard from thousands of women over the years, and there are unique stresses, areas of overwhelm, and discipleship struggles that so many of us share in common. I decided that I'd combine what I've learned about spiritual practices over the years with my experience as a Bible teacher, leader, and pharmaceutical sales representative to offer hope to women that God has given us, you, everything that we need to win the battle of overwhelm. Our guide for this journey will be the Apostle Paul. He was a first century pastor, church planner, and prolific writer of many New Testament letters, and most notably, Paul considered himself a humble follower of Jesus Christ. Paul faced angry mobs, relational conflict, shipwrecks, physical threats, beatings, imprisonment, and court cases. What's wild is that those stressful circumstances came after he began following Jesus. Paul is honest about life's challenging circumstances, but still he intentionally calls us to have greater devotion and faith in Christ. We'll learn about how to do this from his example, his teachings, and his story. Additional benefits you will experience include: learn the four main stress triggers that push you toward the breaking point and how to anticipate them in advance. Discover the power of what I call breathing room exercises to help you interrupt your fight or flight stress response and prepare you to engage in the spiritual practices. Stop living in survival mode and learn how to practice God's peace. Cultivate your knowledge of the 10 spiritual practices that create space for you to connect intimately with God, giving Him space to transform you from overwhelm to overcomer, no matter what you're facing in life. Learn practical, scripture-based tools and how to apply them to your daily life in a Jesus-centered, grace-based way. Wake up with daily confidence that you can live at peace and in wholeness even though you may be living in difficult or stressful circumstances. This is a journey that will require you to trust that God can do what you can't in winning your battle of overwhelm. If you are willing, God will work in your heart, mind, and life. The beautiful truth about your healing is that it is already waiting for you because it has already been won. Jesus accomplished this victory for you. It's waiting if you are willing. Winning the battle of overwhelm looks like living with a calm heart and a peaceful mind. As a result, you live from the power of God's peace so that you can participate in God's eternal purpose. I'm glad that you're joining me for this journey. Chapter 1. Give me a break. It's okay not to be okay. Barb Roos. I didn't realize that I'd thrown those dinner plates through my kitchen window until the sound of shattered glass snapped me back into reality. Even before I fully surveyed the glass and porcelain carnage, my mind's public relations office worked to spin the disaster. Oh, that's not good. Yikes! You can't walk that back, honey. Think, how do we explain this without admitting what really happened? Can you tell your neighbors that those plates just happened to slip out of your hands? Those plates did not slip out of my hands, unless slipping looks a lot like Nolan Ryan firing off a fastball from the pitching mound. When I opened the back door to what looked like a crime scene after a home robbery, I realized I had tossed more than a few plates. I'd also fired off several forks, a mixing bowl, my salad colander, and a classic white Carell coffee mug, which blessedly honored its no-break guarantee. At least there was that. While that mug didn't break, it was time to admit that I finally had. My overwhelm had overcome me. It had broken me. It wasn't the first time. This was just the messiest, most embarrassing time. I raced up the steps and threw myself on the love seat in my TV room. My cheeks flamed with the shame of failure. I never thought that I'd go over the edge like that, but I should have known. Parenting, work, household, grief, a loved one's addiction, car troubles, struggling kids. Again, I should have known. Oh, the neighbors. My cheeks warmed again from embarrassment. I'd made it clear to everyone around me that I was a Christian. They knew I worked for my church. Christian women aren't supposed to throw plates through their kitchen window. What have I done? God, did I totally embarrass you? Like Adam and Eve in the garden, I wanted to hide. I knew that God loved me, But if I were him, I'd be disappointed in me for losing all self-control in a most spectacular way. The heaviness followed me back downstairs to revisit the scene of the crime. Tears fell as I swept up the evidence of my stressed-out life. I sagged against the wall as I reclimbed the steps to cry on the love seat again. I'd cleaned up the mess, but I had no idea how to clean up the mess that had become my life. God, I'm overwhelmed, and I don't know what to do. What is overwhelm? I begin our journey together by telling my story so that if you're wondering how your life became so hard, complicated, and confusing, you'll know that you're not alone. It's so hard waking up and knowing that you're doing the best that you can when it feels like you're falling further behind and falling apart more every day. A common dictionary description of overwhelm is a sensation of being buried or drowning, feeling defeated, and being unable to know what to do next. But here is my practical definition of overwhelm: having too much to do with not enough time to do it, and feeling unsure, paralyzed, or stuck on how to fix it or move forward. Overwhelm is something that we sense before we can name it. I can be busy and doing just fine, but then I remember I need to transfer money from one bank to the next before 5 p.m. That requires a phone call and waiting indefinitely for customer service. I don't have time for that. I also need to pick up a prescription at some point between my 3 Zoom calls. I should have transferred the money a week ago, so I beat myself up for procrastinating. One of those Zoom calls is about a problem that someone is depending on me to solve, but I don't have the answers. While I'm sorting through all of that and attempting to fill in my right eyebrow, which never turns out as good as my left eyebrow, one of the kids asks to borrow my car. I stare at myself in the bathroom mirror. Then I feel it. The start of a pit in the middle of my stomach. 2 words come to mind. Oh, no. This is overwhelm. It's complex. It's a chaos of details, emotion, and overload that demands your attention, but you don't know what to do about it. The inability to sort out your overwhelm terrifies you because there is so much at stake in your life. You can't afford to mess things up, and you've got to figure it out before it's too late. My hope is to meet you in that space with the love of Christ and the guiding light of God's truth. Deep breath, my friend. If God led you to this book, then He knows how to take care of you and handle things while you sort through your overwhelm. I've been there a few times. There is a path to the other side of your overwhelm. What you'll learn here will not only give insight into what's going on inside of you, but will help you know how to stop the spinning, grab God's hand, and let Him lead you to the other side where you can experience His peace, joy, and victory. Overwhelm as an internal emotion. Overwhelm is a mixture of emotions and experiences, but there are no precise measurements. The recipe for overwhelm is a pinch of this and a teens of that, a southern way of saying tiny or teensy. It's not precise, but it's accurate nonetheless, like my grandmother's way of cooking intuitively without a recipe. To help you remember the elements of overwhelm, I developed the acronym CATS, C-A-T-S, which is funny for me because I am a dog person. When it comes to overwhelm, CATS stands for control, anxiety, time, and stress. For my own life, when that pit starts in my stomach, I ask myself which of these are in play. You can use this diagnostic tool in your battle to help you identify overwhelm in the future. Let's start with C, control. Too little control, one's inability to manage or change the situation. Your ability to manage or change the situation is an important factor in the extent to which you'll experience overwhelm. The less control that you have or feel like you have, the easier it will be for you to feel overwhelmed. If all four tires on your car need to be replaced and you have money in your account, this will likely cause annoyance for an out-of-service car, but not overwhelm. But if you're already behind on your bills, your mind might start spinning on not only the repair bill, but how you will handle the other bills. That will spark worries about taking care of yourself and others. There's also a hidden layer within the level of control. I've heard it described as active challenge and passive challenge. Active challenges are the complex circumstances you choose to pursue, such as going back to college, building a house, or starting a business. When you say yes to those opportunities and the pressure builds, you can still feel overwhelmed, but you're more likely to be positive and hopeful toward your overwhelm because you agreed to it. Passive challenges are circumstances that are thrust on you and you had no say in them, whether it's having parents who struggled with addiction, a spouse's infidelity, a job layoff, or a health crisis. This form of overwhelm can create more distress and hopelessness since you had no choice in the matter but are left to find your path through it. Next is A, anxiety. Too much anxiety, fear for your safety, or fear of the unknown. This is the emotion that we associate most often with overwhelm. Anxiety describes both our state of mind and our emotional reaction. It's also how we describe our undefined fears. Anxiety asks questions like, will I be okay? Or what if something bad happens to me? Or can someone tell me what will happen? There are two parts to anxiety, physical and mental. Physical expressions of anxiety include a racing heartbeat, sleeplessness, nausea, upset stomach, anger, shaky hands, irritability, or frequent crying. The mental layer of anxiety is worry. This includes overthinking, distraction, or fixating on worst-case scenarios, which I call worry flicks, like Netflix. If you lost your job but had 6 months of savings in your checking account, you'd be less likely to move toward overwhelm. You'd feel some level of safety and security in knowing that you'd have a roof over your head and food to eat. In another example, if the doctor diagnoses you with a chronic illness and advises you to change jobs, the questions about your quality of life and ability to provide for yourself would understandably generate anxiety that would contribute to overwhelm. Next is T, time. Too little time, not enough hours and minutes to accomplish tasks. Raise your hand if you tend to be overly optimistic about what you can accomplish on any given day. Both of my hands are up. Buses, trains, and airlines run on a schedule. Our lives do not, but we live like they do, and we're always up against the clock. It's like the music to Final Jeopardy plays in our minds all the time. We need to make a move, make a decision, make it to an appointment, or make something right. But there never seems to be enough time. Unfortunately, we don't do ourselves any favors by not accounting for the inevitable time sinks, such as having an extra slow cashier at the grocery store, waiting on others, forgetting to put gas in the car, or the baby having a blowout diaper before we leave the house. When you don't have enough time and then you lose control over the time you do have, well, that's a big push toward overwhelm. Finally, S for stress. Too much stress. Anything that you perceive as threatening or adding pressure to your life. Stress is the body's internal response to external pressure. In the next chapter, we're going to break down stress because it's an important player in overwhelm. When stress is sustained for too long, our bodies will swing toward overwhelm because there's a sense that something has been going wrong for a long time and we haven't been able to fix it. CATS, C-A-T-S, is a description of the factors of overwhelm. However, I did not address certain conditions like trauma, mental health disorders, chronic illness, and grief, these are important factors that can predispose one to overwhelm, accelerate overwhelm, or make it difficult to treat. If you know that one of these conditions is contributing to and increasing your overwhelm, or is making it difficult for you to concentrate on the spiritual practices discussed in this book, then this is where I highly recommend having a mental health professional join you in this journey. Overwhelm's external battle. We've examined what creates overwhelm inside of us, but overwhelm is also an experience made up of our circumstances and environments. If I had to create a word picture for overwhelm, it looks like a room of spinning plates. We all have a unique set of spinning plates. My spinning plates look like an 84-piece set of beautiful, individually painted Polish pottery. A sweet friend gave me a Polish pottery mug for Christmas one year, and I fell in love with the style. My spinning plates come in all shapes and sizes. Each size represents some part of my life. The little saucers are my to-do list items. There's a spinning saucer for filing my business receipts. Another saucer spins and reminds me to put gas in my car at night instead of waiting until the morning. Not all the spinning plates are task-oriented. Fun plates include invitations to lunch, time with special people, or adventurous plans. Next up are the salad plates, which are the unresolved but important issues in my life, like finding a new dentist, setting up a meeting with my financial planner, or deciding whether to buy or lease a car. My daughter's car required extensive repairs after a weird auto accident involving a tree stump that fell off a landscape truck. 8 weeks later, the repair shop called to tell us that her seatbelt needed to be replaced, and there were no seatbelts in the country to match her vehicle. I hoped that plate could come down, but it continued to spin for many more months. The dinner plates symbolize my relationships. I love those plates, but they hold a lot of drama and complicated dynamics, so they wobble real easily. I can't blame the plates because I'm also heaping my expectations and desires on top, like extra gravy. Those plates take a lot of effort to spin. Woo! I'm tired just thinking about it. Finally, there are serving platters, which represent emergencies or crisis situations, such as an unexpected job loss, a health crisis, a financial setback, or even a small problem that you blow up into a crisis because of fear or overthinking. Regardless of how the crisis happens, it requires tremendous energy and effort to keep minding their spinning pole. What does your spinning plate room look like? If you'd like, grab a sheet of paper and draw each size plate and label them. It might be an eye-opening activity. Once we look at our plates, it's natural to wonder, how many plates are too many? What if I can't handle the plates that I have? Am I a horrible person if I let a plate drop? How can I stop other people from adding to my plates? These are all good questions that I believe God will equip you to discern in our time together. As you learn how God equips us to win the battle of overwhelm, He will provide you with more tools to apply wisdom to what's happening in your life. Next, I want to go back to the desperate prayer that I cried out to God at the beginning of this chapter. God, I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Maybe this is a good time to pause, take a deep breath, and use the words that King David prayed when his son Absalom once plotted to overthrow his kingdom. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. Psalm 55, verse 2. David goes on to describe his heart pounding in his chest, and a few verses later, he again uses the word overwhelm. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Verse 5. He even wishes that he was a bird so that he could fly away. Overwhelm is nothing to be ashamed of. Life is often more than we can handle, even for someone who has been walking with Jesus for a long time. Spiritual maturity doesn't mean that you won't experience overwhelm, but your connection with God keeps you from getting stuck there. God has a great adventure of faith and purpose for each of our lives, so He won't let overwhelm steal your hope, joy, or peace. In the following chapters, you'll learn how to create space for God to step into your stress and grow your character, your patience, and your hope so that you will win the battle of overwhelm as an overcomer. Chapter 2: Too Stressed to Be Blessed. God didn't promise a stress-free life. He promised to give you strength to live this life. Barb Roos. Experiencing overwhelm or stress is not something to hide or a reason for shame, nor is experiencing stress a sign of spiritual maturity or lack of faith. We all experience stress. If the doctor delivers a type 1 diabetes diagnosis for your 10-year-old, you'll feel stress. That is normal. If your job gets eliminated, you may experience stress. If your son leaves the house with friends, but you know that he's headed to a side of town where someone of his skin color might not be welcome, you may feel stress. Stress happens. God sees you and the distress that weighs on your heart. I prayed to the Lord and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. This is one of those passages that I keep close by during seasons of stress, when life happens and weariness causes me to wonder if God cares about what I'm going through. He does. However, living in a constant state of stress or overwhelm is a spiritual red flag, an emotional danger zone, and a physical threat. Red flags aren't judgments or signs that you're doing something wrong. They are indicators that something could be wrong. Prolonged stress can lead to unhealthy or sinful behaviors, as well as cause significant damage to your mental and physical health. Living in chronic stress means that you're living without the healing, sustaining peace that God promises. It prevents you from living out God's great adventure of faith and purpose for your life. Winning your battle against overwhelm isn't only about exchanging your stress for peace. Ultimately, this is about finding freedom so that you can experience all that God promises and live out your purpose. You already know that your stressed life is not your best life. We need to talk about stress because it is a physical and spiritual indicator of what's going on inside of you. God cares about what's going on inside of you, and He has wired your body to help you take care of yourself. Why does God allow us to experience stress? There's a common belief that all stress is bad, but that's not true. In its healthy, functional form, stress has a God-ordained protective purpose. Stress is an indication of how you're reacting to the world around you, and it can help you adjust so that you can protect your God-given body from hurt or harm. Think about stress like a red flag. Red flags are indicators, not verdicts. Why in heaven would God create stress if He knew it would create so many potential problems? We could ask that same question of why God would create sex, work, parenting, or relationships. Each of those things is good and has divine origins. Yet, because we live in a world impacted by sin, good things created by God have been perverted by sin, and that breaks God's heart as much as it does yours. How you handle your stress determines whether you'll experience healthy stress, which protects you from harm or injury, or harmful stress, which can have life-altering consequences including a number of health issues and even death. Do you know how stressed?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?